Welcome to the She Births Show, a place to inspire your birth, evolve your parenting, and help you live a life you love. I'm Nadine Richardson, your host and creator of the scientifically verified birth education program, She Births. I'm also a mother, yoga teacher, doula, author, and speaker. At She Births, we have supported thousands of families around the world for over 13 years with our unique program, and our vision is to make birth better for every family around the world so that everyone experiences a beautiful birth no matter what unfolds. Not only do we help people have beautiful births, but we also give them the skills and the philosophy to enjoy pregnancy and make parenting easier, as well as our world-class birth ed, taken either face-to-face or online. In our app, we also have a free pregnancy guide designed to help you feel calm, connected, and inspired as you and your baby grow. We have a doula matching service, the perfect way to ensure you and your partner are completely supported throughout the whole journey. And we have our Soul Mama Circles, which are the perfect postpartum network to help optimize your mindset and design your life in parenthood. Remember, if you like what you hear today, subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. If you're a parent, about to be one, fellow health professional, join us now for an inspirational deep dive into topics with experts around the globe. We hope you enjoy this special episode. My guest today on the podcast is a beautiful woman called Lesha Nelson. She was an occupational therapist and is now a trauma specialist working in the birth and perinatal space. She is a somatic therapist, a craniosacral practitioner. She has spent over a decade studying trauma, meditation, stress responses, the womb, psychosomatics. Lesha believes it's possible to repattern our nervous system from dysregulation, from childhood conditioning, and from insecure attachment patterns to a place of connection and trust. She is an amazing woman. Our conversation is priceless. I want every person on the planet to hear and learn from her wisdom and this discourse, because there is so much for us all to heal from the big traumas and the little T's, the little traumas. And there's so much to understand about our nervous systems as women going into birth as well, and in healing our birth trauma too. Lesha also works with calling in your spirit babies, preconception work. Her vision statement is something I truly love. She says, "My dreamiest vision is a world where we feel safe in all our relationships to be authentic and like we belong because we are deeply resourced and open to pleasure." Could not agree more. As you jump into this conversation, please know that we talk about things that could trigger some people. I mention sexual abuse, the term rape, birth trauma, but within that we're also talking about resolving trauma. We talk a lot about the spectrum of the nervous system, the ladder, and we talk about good enough parenting as well and the imprints that are maybe placed on our baby during birth. And we also get to experience at the end, which is so divine, a meditation to bring us back into our bodies and to develop more interoception, understanding the interior landscape of our lives, which is the key to preventing and healing trauma. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Hello, Lesha Nelson on the other side of the world. Welcome to the She Births Show.
Thank you. Really happy to be here today.
I'm so excited to have you on. I heard you speaking on a friend's podcast and there was like, I was a quarter of the way in. I'm like,
hell yes, I have to have you sharing and talking to our community, because I love the way you spoke about birth and trauma and the nervous system and the body, and so much of what you were sharing I just really resonated with. So thank you for making the time to come.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And when you reached out to me and told me what you did and what you offer and what you talked about, it was a hell yes for me too.
Great. And if it's not a hell yes, then it's a hell no, right? That's
my exactly
remind that to myself. So could you tell us, where are you in the world, and tell us what you actually do? Because to a lot of people, the work you're doing might sound like a new type of profession.
Sure. I'm all the way across the world, literally in Utah, Salt Lake City. I do both in-person and virtual sessions. So it's okay if you live in a different part of the world. I love how Zoom and COVID has actually opened up this whole door, just doing sessions across the world. And I call myself a somatic practitioner and a cranial sacral therapist. I started out as an occupational therapist and was very, very science-based, very much worked in inpatient neuro rehab, started with adults and then transitioned over to pediatrics and newborns. And it was that transition over into pediatric and newborns that opened up the world of working with pregnancy and conception and newborns.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to talk too much about the cranial sacral aspect, because that is definitely in person.
Yeah.
But I work a lot with regulating the nervous system and helping people be in their body. And whenever there's trauma, regardless of the trauma, because trauma is not an event, it's how you interpret and feel the event in your body. So I work mostly with people that have experienced a trauma and don't know how to either A, process that in their body, it's still in their body, or they've left their body because of the trauma. And so my work with people is to really help them process from a body perspective the trauma itself, or the story, or help regulate the nervous system wherever they are on the nervous system continuum.
Yeah, and that's right. Seeing it as a continuum, I think, is a really important thing. You know, the mind can just be so reductionist around fight or flight, or, you know, sympathetic or parasympathetic, but actually it's a continuum and we oscillate and move around along that. Tell us a little bit, though, let's start with maybe some definitions, I suppose, so that we're all on the same page. You know, what is trauma? You said it's not an event, it's an experience that's had internally. So can you expand on that a little bit more?
So a lot of people think, okay, trauma is like, you know, this huge event or something really big or bad has to happen in order for it to be a trauma. And we know now that that's not true. So much to say that two people could get into a car accident. You could get in a car accident and I could get in a car accident. And I could walk away and be totally fine and have resiliency and have support and just be okay. And you could have the opposite experience. That could be very traumatic. It could really impede your life. It could impede your relationships. You could have physical pain. And so it's not to say that, you know, I'm quote unquote good and you're quote unquote bad. It's that what happened to our nervous systems? How did our body interpret whatever that thing was to make it traumatic for us? And there are large traumas, like I've talked about, a car accident, sexual assault. Yeah. I consider birth trauma, big T trauma, big events.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that that is trauma and that we need to work through that and process through that with different modalities and help. But we can also have what's called little T trauma, where those are the little things that are happening over and over and over again. And that's dysregulating our nervous system. And, you know, the little T traumas are usually the things we don't see. They're the things that are happening behind closed doors. They're the things like kids getting bullied at school. Mm-hmm. And that's affecting their system to the point where they then have the same nervous system dysregulation as someone who's experienced a big T trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm guessing as well, like bullied at school, absolutely makes total sense. But I wonder if being raised, you know, in a home where you had parents who were ambivalent in their attachment rather than secured, or a mum or dad who was dissociative or something like that, that is going to create through that experience a whole bunch of little traumas, as well as a whole bunch of beliefs around self-worth and what's possible for your life, right?
Exactly. And what the research shows and what they find is that children that are experiencing those things, like a disgruntled home or a mother that just isn't there emotionally, like so say there's neglect in the home, that those children are actually more susceptible to trauma in the future, the big T trauma in the future.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we don't know why, if you've experienced one trauma, especially a big T trauma, you are more susceptible to experiencing another big T trauma.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that up as well, because I've seen that in the birth space, traumas from the past, obviously sexual trauma will play out for a lot of women in their birth, because birth is a sexual event. But trauma in general can beget trauma. I had a friend who was raped when she was younger, and she was raped again, you know, on the side of the road, pulled into a car when she was in her late 20s. And to me, from a profound sort of spiritual perspective, I would say that is horrific. But at the same time, I think the trauma is begetting trauma because it's asking for the healing. It's like the wound is held in the field, in the electromagnetic field, and that karmic pattern, that revisiting is happening in order because it's crying out to be healed. And so that's just my perspective. But what are the ways that we heal trauma? Like, what is trauma looking for, really?
So this is also, I want to name two before I get into the, like, the modalities to work with trauma and what we can do, is that trauma's kind of become a fad word.
Yeah.
Especially in the online space, and everyone's now trauma informed and yada, yada, yada. So I don't ever want to minimize anyone's experience or minimize anyone's trauma. Only you can decide, like, what you need and what modalities are going to work for you. And for me, nervous system regulation and somatics has totally healed my traumas, like, full, just amazing. So of course I'm a big advocate of that. That doesn't work for everyone. Some people do need, say, talk therapy. It just really, really depends. And so I like to be careful and just say, just because you experience neglect in the home doesn't mean that you have a trauma and you need to go now heal it. There's a saying around, if you have a scar, a scab doesn't become a scar until you pick it multiple times.
Wow, that's a good one. Say that. So a scab doesn't become a scar. Yeah. Until you pick it. Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, don't go looking for your traumas. Or if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, oh my God, I had some small T traumas, like, but I'm fine. Yes, you're fine. Like, we as humans are very resilient. And I think the statistic is 30%. Which is super low. You need 30% of parent attunement in order to be okay and be a functional human being in life.
Yeah. So is that like the stat that comes from, like, the good enough parent? Like, yes, to be a good enough parent, really 30% of the time you have to be present to your children. 70% of the time you can literally just be thinking about yourself, worrying about your world, dissociated.
If you write that, make mistakes.
Yeah. 30% so, present for them.
I like to preface that for two reasons, because people listen to me talk and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm screwing my children.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, no, it's so important. Thank you.
And also, don't go picking your scalps, you know, like do your work for the work that needs to be healed and done, but not everything is a trauma.
No, that's right. But things arise through, say, the pregnancy journey, the fears arise, the anxieties arise. And in birth too, it's an unraveling experience, and you can do all the prep in the world in your pregnancy. You know, you can get your PhD in birth prep, but still you will have to go through the labor process, and things that are unresolved within us could come up. And that's why it's so important to have people around you as well that are able to hold that space and work with this sort of complex, nonlinear unraveling, people that understand that there is an inner process taking place, an inner world that is incredibly important to care and tend to and support.
So to loop back to your original question of like, what are the things? And I mean, there's so many ways to go with this conversation, but yeah. I love how you said you need people around you that understand or are in that space. We can talk about that with co-regulation. But there are different ways to work through trauma, and somatic trauma resolution, or I'm a somatic practitioner, that is one way to work through your trauma. And that is really starting to understand your body, your own nervous system, because no one nervous system is the same, meaning how you respond to situations is going to be very different to how I respond to situations, because we have different nervous systems. And really starting to understand your internal landscape. So it's called interoception. And interoception is our body's ability to interpret what's going on the inside.
Mm.
And the more that we can get attuned to that, and that's a part of your brain that's in charge of that. So just like riding a bike, you can increase your interoception. You can increase that awareness. Meditation does this in a great way. And working with different practices increases your interoception so that you're able to really understand what's going on the inside.
Mm.
And when we're able to understand what's going on the inside, we're able to separate the traumatic event or the traumatic thing and what our body experienced during that time compared to the present time.
Mm.
So a lot of time in trauma and the way it can stack is neurons that fire together, wire together. So if you have a traumatic event, one of your senses or something happens that your body goes, anytime this happens, I'm under threat and this is a trauma. So you might have something happen, even though you're totally safe, but from an internal sensory perspective, a scent or a smell or a feeling, and your body goes back to that trauma, and your nervous system gets dysregulated. So in somatic work, we're trying to create what's called differentiation.
Yeah.
That happened then. This is what your body was experiencing. It's valid. It's true. And this is what's happening now. And what's happening now isn't that thing you think is happening. What's happening now is you're safe. You're fine. So we're looking to understand our internal world.
Mm. Sounds big, you know, when you explain it like that, because I mean, recently just had a traumatic, big trauma heal, a big T heal. And it came up in the most unusual way. You know, I couldn't focus. I couldn't do the work I was trying to do for a few days. And I was just at a loss. So I went for a massage. And I came home and I just surrendered. I just gave up trying to do this work, to write about something. And when I lay down after the massage, I just put my hands on my belly and just started crying and crying and crying. And this big grief arose and shame arose from within me. And it was quite the process to go through. And I was with people in a container actually that helped hold that, which was amazing. And I have to say, since then, I feel so much more in my body and I feel a lot more content and a lot more calm. And I think this dysregulation almost in my nervous system had become the norm for many, many years, over a decade. And there's some sort of magic unraveling. I think we have to bring that perspective that when a trauma arises or when these big feelings arise, there are opportunities for healing as well. And we need to call in the right people to help us through that, you know, which was for me talking and body work and people holding space in a non-judgmental way and me just adopting faith more and more to allow that healing to happen. And yeah, it brought me into the present moment more and more. I can feel my body is more in the present moment. My nervous system is calmer. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of how it happens?
And now for a quick break. At She Births, we believe that pregnancy, birth, and matrescence, the sacred postpartum, is an awesome rite of passage. Our free holistic pregnancy guide offers you 6 months of weekly support. Drop straight into your inbox or within our free She Births app, you can get content that will nourish your body, mind, and soul. You can enjoy prenatal yoga videos, great recipes, birth affirmations, course discounts, and more. From me and my team, the creator of the world's only scientifically verified antenatal classes, it is our gift to you. Sign up today and receive the free holistic pregnancy guide at shebirths.com/PG. That's shebirths.com/PG.
I'm relishing in your story and thank you for sharing because it's a great example. There's a couple things going on in that story that I'm like, yeah, that's somatics. Yep, that's what was happening. Yep, that's this. And so our body stores trauma.
Yeah.
And you said earlier, you know, I like to say if there's a lot of chaos in the field, that's trauma looking to be healed most often.
Well, say that one again.
Yeah. If there's a lot of chaos in the field, that's likely trauma looking to be healed.
Yeah, that makes total sense, you know. So many times I just want to say, you know, I step into hospitals to support families giving birth, but you're stepping into a state of chaos. Like a lot of the time hospitals are in a state of chaos and when people are not nice to mothers, you can literally see that's just an unhealed person. That's their trauma being projected and begetting more trauma into the space onto another. Yeah.
100%. So there are times when it becomes a trauma for a lot of reasons, but there's some threads. One is that we are looking to survive. We're looking to save our lives. We have a very, very smart body and brain, and survival is number one. And so if there's any sort of threat or any sort of anything going on, your body's going to go into survival. And if it works, which it does, because we're here and we save ourselves, our body goes, oh, okay, remember that. That's how you get safe. That's how you survive. And so then it becomes your coping mechanism. And so for your example, some situation, some story where it wasn't safe to express the emotions or the grief or the shame, and you just lock it down, click it, store it in your body.
Yeah.
And then something happened at this, like you were trying to write, and something about writing was that enmeshment, something triggered in your body of like, that interoception, this goes with this, and this means I'm not safe, and that means I'm in an like I'm gonna die. I need to save myself. So you did what is great, and you took time to regulate your nervous system. You created some space. You went and got some body work. I'm a huge fan of massage, deep touch, deep pressure. That's really, really great for the nervous system. And the other thing that's really beautiful about your story, well, two things, is that you then had the release.
Yeah.
So you had the tears that you probably didn't get to have at the time back
then.
That's
right. Yep.
And you were witnessed. You were seen, yeah. And you were held with a group of people. And whether it's one person or a group of people, trauma happens in isolation.
Mm.
And so when you're with a group of people that have regulated nervous systems, are not attached to your story, they don't know about your shame or what's happened, they can be with you in that. And they can witness you and they can say, I'm with you. And that's actually a huge piece of my work, is that no matter the chaos, no matter the story someone brings or the trauma or the situation, I keep my nervous system regulated and I'm with them in that. And it's through my regulated nervous system and my attunement to their story and my I'm with you in this, that so much of the healing happens. And whatever needs to happen, whether it's a cry, a release, a shake, a movement, a perception shift, they know that they're not alone in that anymore and that they can start to heal.
Mm, yeah, that's it. That's right. It's so beautiful. And yes, the word trauma and trauma-informed is getting thrown about, as is the term embodiment. I would love to break down that term, you know, if we've got another hour to share. But I just heard another podcast, which blew my mind, the revolution will not be psychologized. You know, we can't psychologize everything and everyone. And in the yoga spaces, people are throwing around these terms like, dismissing people because they're a narcissist and that person's triggering my trauma and all this kind of stuff is getting bandied around. Even amidst that chaos, there is still such powerful opportunities right now in the collective to heal our trauma. And that is what I see happening as well for those people that are able to access calm within the chaos and the right people to work with them. And I think talking therapy works to an extent, but the body has to be included at some point. It just has to be. And my craniosacral person was back in Vancouver, so I didn't go to her, but I know I would have had a huge trauma release if I'd been able to go to her. And there's not enough practitioners around the world of craniosacral. There just is not enough. And it is such a powerful modality. We have a lot here in the Byron Bay area and the Northern Rivers, but not so much in the big cities, which is a real shame.
Yeah. And I find, not enough cranial sacral therapists that work with babies and pregnancy and birth. Like that's really, it's a big hole that needs to be filled, hopefully sooner rather than later.
And well, maybe that, you know, this conversation is an invitation to exploring that for people and calling out for that as well. So can we go back to what trauma is looking for? We've talked a bit about it then, but trauma is looking for co-regulation, is the way my therapist explained it to me. How do you explain that? What are we looking? Co-regulation, is that implying the nervous system or is it the body keeps score? Is it the nervous system keeps score? I think it's the nervous system.
I think it's the nervous system too. I mean,
doesn't sound as good for the book title, right?
No, it doesn't. And like, I'm on this big kick. I did a little reel the other day of like, okay, if you're calling yourself a somatic practitioner or a trauma-informed practitioner and you've only read Body Keeps the Score, that doesn't count. That's not enough. It's not enough. That's an older book actually by now. And there's so much more information. And thank God for that book, because that's like the bridge for so many people to start to understand what's happening between mind-body connection. So thank God for him and his research in the book.
Right.
But I feel like co-regulation is one way of working with trauma to, yeah, heal it, help it move out of the system. And most of us, I mean, I can only really speak for myself and the people I've talked to and worked with, but most of us didn't have the co-regulation we needed while growing up.
Yeah.
I didn't get co-regulated with or to, I shouldn't say never, because I know my parents did a great job and tried, but not in the way that my nervous system or the way I needed when I needed it.
Mm. Yeah.
And so co-regulation is a nervous system thing. And it basically means one nervous system is going to regulate to the other nervous system.
Mm.
So it doesn't even have to be positive. If I'm really anxious and I'm the most powerful energy in the room, people's nervous systems will attune to me.
All I can think about is my son in the kitchen. My son is like this giant, huge energy. Yeah, when he was born, there was like a boom that happened, right, in this space. It was wild. And he's this big Aries character. But when he's in the kitchen, it's like he's like the master chef, you know, and he gets so stressed and anxious, like, Grandma, why didn't you put the knife in the right place? Why is this chopping board not clean properly? And we all just like start to get like super duper anxious. But he's got this girlfriend that just like holds centered and calm. And I'm Aries. And so I get wound up and like my mom like has to just leave the space. And his girlfriend's just like holding him still. But yeah, the rest of us get wound up into his anxiety. Just saying.
Yeah. I love it. So she is becoming the strongest energy force in the room.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For him to attune to. Whether, I mean, it's totally unconscious.
Yeah.
And this can happen with freeze, like if someone's in freeze, but it's the strongest energy in the room, our nervous systems are going to attune to that.
Yes, right.
So, for example, if someone comes into my session or into my office and they're in this hyperactive, what I call hypervigilant state, or they're anxious or they're in panic, I actually have to get quote unquote bigger than them in my, like, I'm calm and I'm regulated and I'm holding that center so that they can attune to that and come down to that.
And kind of what it feels happening in this interview. I'm like falling into your nervous system there. It's so good.
Thank you. I work with it a lot.
I know. I can tell you're really good at it. And I'm feeling it. It's so good. And so freezing, again, can be a common thing I've seen in the birth space. And I'm, you know, writing my book or finishing it right now. And it's in She Births, you know, we cover the fight or flight. You know, we try to impart as much information as possible in the She Births course, but there's much more subtleties to the nervous system and our expressions of fear and danger, perceived danger. And one of that freezing and fawning, oh, it's like that is actually the most common expression we will see in the birth room. So rather than fighting, you can't fight. You can't flee, you can't run away, but women can often freeze and they will often fawn.
Yes.
And yes, as a doula, we're trying to hold that space that, you know, you're holding for me right now and you do as a practitioner as well. So tell us more about like freeze and fawn from your experience. Like it's such a common female expression of nervous system, don't you think?
I do. And when I look at things in a nervous system perspective, you can almost think of it as a ladder or like a scale where the bottom is this freeze state And then we have our meditative state. So we can have our calm states where we're regulated, but we're mellow. And then we have just our regular awareness state, which is probably the state that like you and I are in right now, because we're talking, our brains are working, you know, things are good. We're here, we're in this middle state. And then there's play. So you start to get a little bit more activated, but it's fun and it's playful. You're not in panic. Then comes fawn. And then usually comes panic and anxiety.
Wow, that's just like so interesting that, you know, freezing, then the meditative state, then the neutral, then play, and then like panic. That is just like so interesting how close they are together and how that spectrum exists. But everyone says, yeah, like you can transform your anxiety into excitement. It's kind of just like sliding down the scale a little bit, right?
Yes. Or you see kids, I love this in kids. It's like they're giggling and they're playful, and then one little thing happens and all of a sudden they're crying.
Yeah.
Because they just got tipped over into that like panicky, this isn't safe space. Like they're like, ah.
Daddy whacked them too hard with the pillows, you know, bashed their heads between two pillows on the bed at 7:30 at night. That's usually how it happens.
Right.
But that's actually like a very important part of like that, particularly for masculine as well, as it learning like physical boundaries and that spectrum experience of the nervous system and how far to go and how far not to go, and then learning repair and connection again and settling. Like, so interesting.
Yeah.
One other thing that you're making me think about is we did a beautiful podcast with the author and researcher Bethany Saltman, and she wrote this extraordinary book about attachment. And she talks about, so she's exploring like her own mother's journey with her and whether she had poor attachment, and then how she is with her daughter. And she looks into the history of attachment and all the original studies and goes and does all the tests and everything like that. And basically comes out realizing that co-regulation is occurring between, you know, parent and child. And the expression of that is mutual delight a lot of the time. So really finding delight in parenthood is the providing of co-regulation. So it's a nice sort of portal to kind of understand it through.
I love that. I love that, because so much of what I am doing right now when I teach clients to do is, where is that delight? Where is that pleasure? Where is that space? And can we, even if it's just for a moment, feel that and lean into it? And it's not to spiritual bypass. It's not to say that that bad stuff didn't happen or the trauma didn't happen. We're saying both are happening. Both are true. You had a trauma and there's some pleasure somewhere. And maybe it's in your parenting delight or making eye contact with your baby when you're breastfeeding, whatever it is for you. And creating moments where that becomes the new neurons that fire together, wire together. That can become the new neurological wiring for your brain, is this leaning towards the delight. And I think it's great. And so many of us, to go back to like the different nervous system states, especially the fawning state, we do that to keep the peace.
Oh my God. Yes. And it's so hard not to, because our hormones really and cultural conditioning is stacked against us. And yet cultural container is completely different to what it used to be. So in a village of, say, you know, 120 people and half are women, and you're just hanging out together and you're living in the land of oxytocin most of the time, you know, hanging out and weaving and like giggling and playing with dogs and kids. And there's no stress about making dinner tonight because, you know, someone else is making dinner. It's their turn within the community. And you're also really connecting and holding each other in that oxytocin. And that estrogen energy is adaptability, you know, like that's all it's about. It is about keeping peace in the family and contorting ourselves now into these strange constructs of modern world to put up with shit a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yep. Put up with shit. And when you take that into the birth room, it's like, you can't flee, like you said, and you can't fight. I mean, you might for a minute, but you can't,
your frontal lobes shut down. Beta endorphins are pumping in there. The neocortex can't rationalize, can't.
You can't maintain it, right? Like you're in there for 8, 9, 10, whatever. Right. And so there's this place of like you said, I'm either going to fawn or I'm going to freeze. The more we can spend in our nervous system in this delight, meditative, regulated delight and playful states, the more we can spend our time in those states, the more our body attunes to those states so that we have less anxiety and less freeze. And that's just for like a normal person. I'm not talking about someone with a history of trauma or when you are in that birth room, but
yeah,
it's like the more we are in those states, the more that becomes us.
Yeah.
And now for a quick break. Contrary to popular culture, She Births believes that childbirth can be the best day of your life. It is designed perfectly to be empowering, enriching, and bonding. An awesome rite of passage. Our childbirth education programs have helped thousands of families around the world since 2008, allowing families to not only feel empowered through education, but also connect with their innate birthing wisdom to create the best birth possible and begin their parenting journey with confidence. She Births unique methodology was scrutinized in university trials and has been published in the British Medical Journal for improving birth outcomes for both mother and child. I'd like to invite you to begin preparing for birth today. Just go to shebirths.com to discover our 2-day weekend face-to-face courses or access the online courses from anywhere around the world. That's shebirths.com. Create your beautiful birth with the world's only scientifically verified antenatal classes.
I think also, the more we can allow that to be our lean to and hopefully more of our norm, particularly in our pregnancy, it becomes a strong foundation to ride the stress of birth. So that's why it's so incredibly important that women try to give themselves as much space as possible to slow down, to not work. Prior to start experiencing more pleasure, more delight, more play, more meditative states. The hormones are taking you there anyway, if you just give them the space. Yeah. So let yourself be bored and spend time in the swimming pool and feel the bliss of the water on your skin or whatever it is, you know, sunrise, sunsets, whatever it is, good food, you know. All these delicious things that the earth provides and our body is designed for becomes then a stable ground to ride the pain and, I believe, the stress of birth. What do you reckon?
Yeah, totally. So well said. Good. Very well said.
Good, because there's like a whole chapter about it in my book. Because I think, grounding ourselves in bliss is really a beautiful invitation. You can't help. I haven't personally been present at like an absolutely pure, pain-free, ecstatic birth. And
oh, it's so beautiful.
I've been at births where there's elements of that. And I've listened to many stories where people describe it as that. But the truth is there is still stress and work and intensity within that. So when they say, oh, it was blissful, it was pain-free, it was ecstatic, absolutely. No, that's the overarching short summary story. But within, there was still work, intensity, stretching, sometimes pain, discomfort, and so on. There's still stress, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, actually, it was my second birth, and it was a dear friend of mine, and she had been coming to get cranial sacral with me during her pregnancy. And about halfway through, she said, "Will you come to my birth?" And I said, "Absolutely." And it was such a cool experience. We did cranial sacral. She birthed in a hospital, unmedicated, in a tub, and we did cranial sacral in between contractions.
Oh, wow. So cool.
And I have to say, like, that was the smoothest birth, first baby. And she also did hypnobirthing. She did hypnobirthing and had a really great doula. It was me and her husband and her doula. And just like gorgeous, beautiful birth. And the doula kept looking at me going, "This isn't normal."
No, no. You were helping the portals to open, you know. Mm-hmm. Were you touching points on the cranium? Yeah.
Yep. I was doing cranial releases in her skull. And when she had really intense, so that's the intensity, is she had back labor. So when she would contract, the doula and I and her husband would all push on her back to compress.
Hysteria. Yeah, yeah, yep.
And then she'd come out of it and we'd do a little bit more cranial sacral on her head. And then she got to a point where she was like, "I'm good. I don't need you to touch me anymore." And that's about when she started to actually move through the pushing.
Yeah, yeah. The baby had descended into the baby. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. So beautiful. I have a theory, and I was emailing you about it, that I really think I did it at dinner the other night. We were at the Indian restaurant with a bunch of friends, and I was telling them about the book, and I was like, you know, birth is like a stress event. It's like for the baby, for the mother, it's like boom, squish, squish, space. And they're like, "You should put that in the book, boom, squish, squish, space." And I'm like, you know, it's like full on. And then this is, you know, so critical. And I think this is now I realize it's like the pennies have dropped in my brain why I have devoted my life to this work and why I spend so much time emphasizing the moment mother and child meet on the outside is because this is the critical time for imprinting, as we know, but this is this co-regulation. It's starting now. It's like you've been through a stress event. I've been through a stress event. Let's co-regulate back to meditative or blissful or delightful or just calm state. Mm-hmm. This is the teaching. And I actually think contractions in space are teaching an imprint of life, of riding the waves. And then the psyche gets imprinted at crowning. That has been my experience from doing certain, like having certain medicines, you know, so there's a whole lot going on. And I know you're studying this as well, but I would love to hear your perspective, Lesha.
Totally agree with you. This is such an important moment of mom-baby bonding. And, you know, if possible, it's really different in the United States, our birth system compared to Australia. Delayed cord clamping is just starting to be a thing here in the hospitals. Like just really allowing that time, you know, don't wipe down the baby. Don't do the eye drops. Like just let them be with mom and allow for this really coherent co-regulation. I mean, mom just worked so hard. And a lot of my work is understanding birth from the baby's perspective. And so the babies are working hard too. And that those moments of co-regulation are imprinting lifelong patterns into our nervous systems and therefore into our lives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, can I come on another podcast and talk about the crowning and the what's happening during birth?
Yeah, yeah.
From the baby's perspective of being birthed. So imprint versus blueprint. That's how I talk about this. So imprint is what gets imprinted, put on like a stamp into the nervous system. And that starts in preconception. And it really, really takes place a lot. There's a lot that happens during the birth that can get imprinted, because that's where the baby is like really, babies don't have developed brains. Everything is a sensory system at that point. Everything is implicit memory, meaning they're not learning things. They are literally, we're literally imprinting on implicit memories our birth. So how our body, we're talking about somatics, how our body interprets what's going on. And we can't talk about that. I can't be like, oh, and then I remember my mom was a planned C-section. So I can't be like, and then I remember the C-section. But my implicit memory and my body can remember that.
Yeah.
And because I was a C-section, the different things that were imprinted on my system created patterns that covered up my blueprint of health. My blueprint is like, we are all whole and well and healed beings of light that come to earth.
Yeah.
That's our blueprint. All of us have that at our core, every single person. And so, so much of the PPN work, preterm perinatal work, and especially from a somatic perspective, is going into this finding our blueprints of health and looking at all the layers that were imprinted, stored in our body, showing up as weird patterns in our life that can totally shift and change once we start to find that blueprint versus imprint.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. And I'm ahead of my time. There's a few, you know.
I'm with you 100%. And I think people hearing this will understand that there is a blueprint of health that all beings have. And then there are imprints. I mean, every spiritual tradition talks about this in the world. Samskaras, karma, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's just, the Western countries are developing, you know, an awareness of this. I don't know if that's the right term anymore, Westernized, so-called developed, intellectualizing countries. But also imprints aren't just from this lifetime. They can sometimes, you know, reach further back in other lifetimes as well, for sure, and be my experience as well.
Totally. And birth, so much shows up from the ancestral field and the ancestral line in birth.
Say that again. What do you mean? Like someone shows up?
So like say your grandma, your great grandma had a traumatic birth experience or a prematurity. It's going to show up in the family line for the women within their line, either traumatic birth or prematurity. Like it goes through family systems and family fields.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, the way we mother comes through. Right. So why wouldn't the way we birth as well?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you work a little bit as well with preconception and helping families to connect with the children that are trying to come through. Is that how you describe it?
Yeah, I just loved how you said the children.
Well, they are. They're like these little beings up there. And in my experience, they kind of go, knock, knock, I'm here. Like, are you ready? Come on, guys. Like, can we get this party started, you know?
Yeah, or they're like, you're not ready, but I'm coming through anyway.
Yes, sometimes, for sure.
So I jokingly call them space babies. And then I found out there was a book called Spirit Babies and another book called Fertile, and she calls them spirit babies. And I was like, okay, that's a little bit more gentle, but you know, they're kind of out in space and they're just hanging out here, and they are little spirits. And I had a spirit baby, space baby, for a couple of years hanging out in my field. And I could feel, I call her, I could feel her very much. We would have conversations and we would talk about different things and about how it wasn't her time to come through and why. And so people will come to me and ask if they can do sessions around whether or not they have one of those little spirit beings out there, or if they're questioning having a birth. And I also work with people because these imprints of conception, these imprints of our life, start as early as preconception and conception. So the more that we can heal or work through some of the ancestral or collective trauma, or maybe our own, if you have, like I said, sexual trauma or sexual shame or whatever it is, the more that you can do that work before, the less imprinting there is on baby.
Yeah. And, you know, I believe that once that child is in your field, they will, I see it. I mean, I see it all the time. They change women. Women are like, oh, you know, I'm going to have this birth and I'm going to raise my child this way. For example, you know, 3 or 4 months into pregnancy, like, oh, maybe I'll think about this. Or when the baby's on the other side, I say, oh, actually, you know, we're going to do it this way. We're just like, this is the way. So, of course, another being in our field will drive us towards clearing the space for them to come through as well, right?
Yes. And when people are pregnant, that's actually one conversation I bring up a lot, is they'll start to talk about their birth and they're telling me all their plans. And I'll pause and say, well, have you asked the baby?
Ah, interesting.
Have you asked the baby how they want to be born and what they want and what they want in the field and how they want to come through?
That's so cool.
Because they might have a very different perspective. And usually there was one baby that was like, you are not having me in a hospital. I want to be in a tub at home. Like, it was scary. Yep, the mom was like, no.
Really?
There was some conflict there. Mm-hmm. But most babies are very like, oh, I want some drums played, or I'd like this song playing, or I'd like these scents. Like, most babies are very relaxed about it. They just want certain things there to help them come earth side, because it is a journey for them.
Yeah. It's the first hero's journey, Joseph Campbell writes about. And I'm trying to remember the name of the psychiatrist that spent a lot of time at Esalen and really launched the LSD research.
Was it William Sutherland?
No, like prior, like he's still alive now. They created the LSD trials, but then they created that journeying that you can do through breath work as well. Oh my God, brain.
Oh, interesting.
Not Maslow or anything like that. I've forgotten his name. Anyway, he talks about, like, there's actually 3 stages that every baby experiences, you know, the labor is one experience, the descent matrices, he calls them, not matrixes, matrices. Then there's the journey through the birth canal. Then there is that moment of crowning. And then there is the moment of meeting, returning to mother. So, yeah, it's fascinating. And he found through thousands and thousands of people going back into their birth experiences that, which just happens naturally in the LSD trials, without any kind of intentionality or at all, it just seemed to be occurring, that people were able to remember these experiences, and there were these like 4 processes, sort of distinct phases of it as well. There's documentaries about him, my brain. I'll remember it and I'll put it in the notes. I didn't think we were going there.
Yeah. Well, I remembered my preconception actually the first time on a cranial sacral table in a cranial sacral training.
Yeah.
And that's what opened me up to this world. I was not going to be in this world at all around pregnancy and babies. Like, I was not on this path to do that. And, but then I remembered my preconception quite vividly. And, you know, I'm doing this year-long training, and even last weekend went through a little birth experience, in my course, I mean, we set up some pillows to figure out in a womb and went into the space of the womb. And that was fascinating too, because I was a C-section and really got to have some insight of what it's like for the baby to be birthed. And at one point I like got stuck on one of the pillows. This is going to sound crazy to some of the listeners, but I was like face down and kind of stuck on a pillow and was like, hence the pelvis. But I was like, oh my God, I'm stuck. Like, I'm not going to make it through. And I just paused and it was like, it would be this equivalent of a baby crowning, but then pausing.
Yeah.
Or like a shoulder getting stuck. And what happens with
fear or something like that.
Yep. And what happens in a lot of births is there'll be intervention and a hand will go up and just pull the baby out and do that. And what I realized was I just need to figure this out, but I just need some space to figure it out. I just need to wait for my natural impulse and my natural instinct and the natural momentum to build. And it did. And then I got my shoulder out and like, quote unquote, finished birthing. But that's an imprint where it's like, you have to rush through things and you have to figure things out and you can't rest and wait for your natural instincts and wait for your natural impulses. You just have to push on through and rush, rush, rush. And unfortunately, I see that a lot right now in the United States in the birth world of let's just rush, rush, rush and facilitate push, push, this birth as quick as possible.
Yeah, that's right. That's very true. And we hear a lot of women, I hear a lot of women as a doula, you know, and through Shibas just intuitively feeling they just need a bit more time or a bit more space. Mm-hmm. I've also had mums, you know, girlfriend just recently, you know, on her third pregnancy, very clear what her child was telling her about who that child wanted in the room and who the child did not want, like really clear, solid voice that she had to almost like just obey. So I think when a lot of women are feeling this, like, oh, I just need some space, like I trust, I feel safe, I know my baby's fine kind of feeling, it is the baby giving information as well. And we, you know, when a child is born, we treat them, a conscious person will treat them as intelligent because they are. There's an intelligence to the being. The being will grow just like a tree has an intelligence. It knows how to grow. And so why not start respecting that in utero? Why not? You know?
Yeah. Or in the birth or in the birth room, or it's just this like, yeah, we just trusting our bodies, trusting our babies, and to bring it back to this trauma piece. Trauma, I talked about being in isolation, but it's also pieces of trauma are too much, too fast, too soon, and not enough. And I'm like, that's birth.
Yeah. Too much, 50% of women being induced, which we know now studies show it creates, you know, too much pain and too much stress that it's actually outweighing the amount of women are being induced. Too soon, induction yet again. Or once you're in the hospital, you're on the clock.
Or they're pulling the baby out.
Yeah. Got to happen now. You know, basically sometimes because I've got to get back to my consulting room or whatever. And what was the other one? Too much, too soon.
Too fast,
yeah.
So things are happening really, really fast and suddenly they like have to go back to a C-section for whatever reason.
Well, that's right. And then within that space, chaos rather than the moment it takes for someone to center and explain, and in order to gain full informed consent, proper conversation and discourse in order to get that, rather than telling and projecting as well. And then not enough.
So you don't have enough co-regulated persons in the room. You have other people bringing in their birth imprints and their birth traumas. So they're not attuned to what's happening, or maybe you know, recently talking to a mom who had a C-section, baby needed to be rushed to NICU, dad left to NICU. So she's like, I didn't have enough support while they were sewing me up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's created trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Amazing. I think the work you're doing is so important. And yeah, I really want every woman to be made more aware of this opportunity, what's available to us. We can heal our trauma. We can unpack it without picking at the scab and making a scar. If we feel called to it, we can listen to our babies. We've got that guidance and that introspection, interoception. Maybe just tell us some last ways that we can sort of build up that interoception. So for me, it was always yoga and meditation. What are the some other ways that we can develop that interoception?
I really developed my awareness through meditation. I should say I'm not as great as meditator as I used to be, but I would say that was my number one thing. And just practice, because our brain does different things and different parts of our brain run different mechanisms. And the more you do something, your brain grows, literally grows. And so that's what interoception is. So when I first started this journey, I couldn't tell you what's going on the inside. And now sometimes my physical therapist recently was like, Leisha, stop it. Stop feeling so much, because you're going to drive yourself crazy with a back injury I have, because I'm feeling it too much. And so it's literally practice. So I'm happy to share. I have an interoception meditation. I can send you the link. I'm happy to share, where it's just literally taking a few minutes every day and just feeling what's going on the inside. Like we can do this right now, where if
let's just
pause and bring awareness to your body. You've been talking or you've been listening. Just do a little body scan. And what do you become aware of? There's something in the background, and it can be pleasant or it can be not pleasant, and both are okay. So I notice my ears are warm. I have a little office heater. It's winter here. So I'm like, okay, curious. My ears are warm. I'm noticing that I have more weight into my left butt cheek or ischial tuberosity than my right. Noticing my throat is a little dry from doing so much talking. I'm curious what you're noticing, Nadine.
Yeah, I know as you're speaking, I feel myself going to my different places of what I'm noticing. And as you're noticing, I notice, and it's like a descending and a letting go. It's a peeling back of layers into a calmer state through the noticing, through the acknowledging. So for me, I notice like my womb, I'm bleeding, I'm on like day two of my period. I notice my brain is like buzzy, a bit anxious about my dogs because I forgot to leave the door open and they're crying. So, but I come back to the body and I'm just like sinking into the chair and feeling comfortable, just feeling the heaviness in my pelvis, in my belly.
Yeah, and I noticed that after you acknowledged your womb, there was a sigh. And when you took a deeper breath, and that's us, that's you getting a little bit more into that rest and digest system. So the more we notice what's going on, we drop into that rest and digest system. And I work with the acronym of COL, which is we're just curious. We're just doing a body scan. We're seeing what's here. O is we're just open. We're accepting is the A. We just accept. So whether there's a pain or a pleasure, or it's your head buzzing or your womb talking. We just accept it. And then the L is love. We send it love, especially if it's something that's unpleasant. We just are with that and love it.
I love it. Coal, C-O-A-L. Oh, so maybe we should just like go into like a second podcast now talking about embodiment. We won't go there, but I love this, and I'm going to put the link for people to practice because it's just so important. And I love the acronym COAL. It's beautiful.
Yes, that's not mine. I want to say it's Siegel's, Ron Siegel, but I could be wrong with that. It comes from a meditation teacher here in the States.
And I just, while we were talking, I just want to share, it is a psychiatrist, a Czech-born psychiatrist I was referring to, Stanislav Grof.
And I know him.
Yeah. So The Way of the Psychonaut is one of his documentaries. And yeah, it is quite profound how people through their breathing practices or through those earlier LSD trials, how a huge majority ended back at their birth experience and these four matrices. So I want to, I suppose my final words would be to women and families, birth workers who are listening, you know, trust your inner world, trust your inner experience, honor and acknowledge that, and trust the intelligence of your bodies and your babies. And find those people to help co-regulate with you for your pregnancy and birth. That's my big takeaways from our conversations. What are your final words to the people who are listening?
So much. I think it's important. I want to add one last piece about the nervous system, is that our nervous system isn't something to be... Sorry, my dog just shook. The nervous system isn't something to be healed. Mm. Like, in a way, yes, but like most people will think that this nervous system work or doing somatic work is so that you're never triggered or you never go into hyper arousal or you never go into freeze. And that's not the case. I still go into anxiety and I still have mind stories and I still have moments where I go into freezes. And healing doesn't mean that we're always constantly regulated, especially even after a trauma. It's just, healing means that, to me, that we are just becoming attuned with our body, our internal awareness, what our body is telling us, that embodiment piece. And that when we are triggered into anxiety or a freeze state, we recognize it and we know how to recover from it versus getting stuck in it. Yeah. And that is possible for every person listening to this podcast, trauma or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That's perfect. It's beautiful. And my dogs definitely need to go for a walk. It's been such a pleasure talking with you, and I can't wait to share it. I'm going to get it out this week because it's just such important and beautiful information, Lesha.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And I put all your details in the links and people can connect with you and sign up, and we'll put the link to your beautiful meditation as well. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
I'm Nadine Richardson, and you've been listening to the She Births Show. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. We'd love to know what you would like to hear more of. You can find me and my team of amazing doulas and educators at shebirths.com and our awesome community on Instagram and Facebook. Within any good app store, you can download our free pregnancy guide via She Births, two separate words and plural, as well as access our range of online courses. Remember, when it comes to having a better birth, an easier transition into parenthood, your education is your empowerment. Don't forget to check out the catalogue of previous podcasts And thank you for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the show.